You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball.
One ball!
The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores,
scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast with William Hill. Alex Dunn here with Pete Farries to look ahead to this weekend's games. Hello, Pete.
Hello.
All right?
Yes.
Good. Gav Pochlowski and Al Ross will be along in just a few. No, don't boo them.
I'm sorry.
They're nice people.
They're doing better than Miller Knapp's table, so I have to boo them a bit.
I'm just about to load the Knapp's table up, actually, just as to see how we're getting on. We'll get back to that shortly. But in terms of the Championship, not much has changed, really. Rotherham still rooted to the bottom, Newcastle still flying high at the top, and in between there's quite a lot of inconsistency going on.
Yeah, the two teams at the bottom, of course, have changed managers now. Gary Caldwell left Wigan in the last 48 hours. Rotherham have now brought in Kenny Jackett, I think the ideal signing for any club wanting to try and save themselves. Kenny Jackett will just get them organised, disciplined and playing decent football. At the top end, Newcastle look canny good, as we would say up there. And yeah, they're a side who have got goals, they've got strength, they invested in the right kind of players. It's for the first time in a fair few years now, sensible investment from Newcastle and a very clear, obvious sort of purchase plan, if you will. And they're looking very, very good. There's some teams in between who've had good little bursts, of course. Cardiff have improved massively under Neil Warnock. Villa have improved massively under Steve Bruce. So there is still an awful long way to go, but there are some teams certainly toward the bottom that I don't think will be there come the end of the season, and there's some teams toward the top who I'm not entirely convinced will be there either. So it's going to be intriguing to see how they switch round.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's Brighton, of course, who now sit in second. Huddersfield were top for, well, it feels like so long, only 14 games in.
I know, yeah.
Feels like it's been going for years.
Never ends.
But Huddersfield had a little blip. Important for them that they did bounce back with that win against Derby, wasn't it? Last-minute winner will be massive for momentum. And also, completely kills Derby's momentum. Anything that they were getting. I mean, you look at the table, 21st. Well, they're there on merit. They've only scored 7 goals in 14 games. Mm. But at the same time, a win there or even a point and you sort of be looking up and they can still comfortably get in the playoffs, can't they, Derby? But at the same time, if they do continue to struggle in front of goal, they could go down, but they won't.
I don't think they will. I don't think they'll get playoff either, to be honest. Mm. I think they'll be somewhere sort of in between, if I'm perfectly honest with you. So that's the kind of thing we need to be looking for with Derby. But you're right with Huddersfield. I mean, 2 back-to-back losses. I mean, losing narrowly on television to Sheffield Wednesday, whatever. You know, not great, but whatever. But the way they lost to Preston was bizarre. At the same time, though, you know, 3 losses, that starts to become a run. 2 is a blip, 3 is a run, really.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. Getting over the line against Derby was vital and did it brilliantly.
And big shout out to Preston because forget their cup game in midweek because they were down to 10 men for a lot of that. Their last 5 games, away to Birmingham, home to Villa, away to Brighton, home to Huddersfield and away to Norwich. Pre-season, they'd have been looking at that and saying, you know, if we can get maybe 4 points from that, we'd be very happy.
Yeah.
And they've gone and got 11. Granted, they were tonked in midweek and they do play Newcastle again this weekend. But prior to that, very, very well done, Preston.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't want to be horrible to Preston at all, but the aim still with their investment structure is staying in the Championship. Mm. So you're looking now at what we are just over a... Well, not, I'd say just under a third of the way through the season now? Just under a third of the way through the season?
Just over a quarter, I'd
Yeah, just
with,
over a quarter. There you go, yeah. Just over a quarter. And they've got half the points, maybe just under half the points they need in order to do that. And I don't want to sound horrible to Preston because I'm sure their aim is higher eventually. But right now, the baseline aim is to stay in this division, isn't it?
Mm.
And to have got... I mean, if they have 2 more runs like that, just in 5 game runs, they're fine.
Mm.
So it's intriguing to me. I mean, there are a lot of teams in this league which we know is chaos. I mean, I don't expect Reading to stay up there, truth be told. But there are a lot of teams in there that are doing very well, and I tell you what, there is some value this weekend. I mean, when I was picking my three, I actually could have picked five or six. I really could have. There was so much value this weekend in this league.
Okay, well, we'll get to those three shortly because they, of course, are the Saturday 3 p.m. kickoffs. We're going to start with the Friday night game, though. QPR against Brentford. QPR 13-8. The draw 9-4. Brentford are 17-10. QPR in 13th. Brentford in 11th. Two sides that have been wonderfully inconsistent so far this season. Or consistently inconsistent, if you'd like.
Yeah.
Identical records. Played 14. Both won 5. Both drawn 4. Both lost 5. I was with Brentford last week. Mm. They lost to Barnsley. There's been times this season when I've been with QPR and they've let me down. Two sides that are hard to trust, but at least you are getting them both here at a nice price, whichever way you go. You're not backing a shorty here, are you?
It's a tough game in some ways. I mean, you've got to be clear. Brentford poor away from home, of course. QPR not really winning at home a huge amount. Just two home wins this season. That opening 3-0 victory over Leeds, of course, probably amongst the best they've played in the entire season so far. And yeah, okay, they beat Bristol City recently as well, which is a decent victory for them, but. With QPR, I always have that inherent worry of the draw. So that sits on my belly all the time. You know, as we've said, a lot of draws at home recently. Three of the last five have been draws. So you just kind of go, But then Brentford, when they're great, they're at home. When they're not great, they tend to be away from home. I mean, they've only won one game on the road this season, Alex. Mm-hmm. So that's not particularly an easy direction to take if you want to take Brentford. Because I don't know what the argument for Brentford is. They're both teams to score here at 8-11. Let's just start off with something nice and simple, shall we? Because in QPR, home games landed in three of the last five. I think they've played seven home games. It's not landed in four. But three of the last five is a decent enough record. Three of the last five, Brentford away. I'll take that as well. Brentford have got goals, as we know. QPR have got some goals in that side too. Not huge amounts, but some goals. And I just felt the 8-11 on the both teams to score was very, very good indeed. I also like the look of Char and Cherry. Now, the amount of times I put this guy up is probably bordering on the Tom Kearney levels now. But 9-4 anytime for Char and Cherry. He's got four goals this season. He loves it on telly. He actually plays, he's one of those in the Albert Adoma mould that we've spoken of in the past, who plays probably better on telly. He's one of these players who steps up when he knows that a lot more people around the country are watching him. He's a great player, and he's a penalty taker, and he's a free kick taker. So you're getting all these set pieces, you're getting a guy who steps up on TV games, and you're getting four goals this season for a 9-4 anytime for Chad and Cherry. I think that is a really, really decent play. In the end, though, I have gone for QPR here. Simply put, I mean, Brentford's away games. They've lost at Newcastle, fair enough. They've lost at Wolves, meh. And they've won at Brighton. So, I mean, it's not awful, of course, away from home for them this season. Losing at Huddersfield, fine. But it was the Rotherham loss. And it was the extent of the Wolves loss. And it was the 0-0 draw at Derby. And it was the 1-1 draw. I know that Villa were drawing a lot of games, but I couldn't, and it was only just a 1-1 draw as well. I think it was the last 10-minute goal equaliser from Egan in that game. So QPR have at least shown me some positive stuff, albeit against some weak sides at home. I just think Brentford are not quite backable in this game. One away win this season, do I want to play that price? I'm not sure I did. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look at Brentford's away games. They've had some tricky ones, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, yeah.
It's a pretty horrible start to the season for them away from home. But if Peter's to be believed here, then that run is going to continue here. So QPR just the pick, 13-8.
I think so. Yeah, I like both teams to score, so you could play QPR in both teams, of course, in the market. And what's quite an interesting looking 9-2. But I mean, for me, the both teams to score good. But I think probably Char and Cherry, my favourite bet of all of it, in there.
Okay. We're siding just with QPR there. We'll move to the Saturday tea time kickoff now. It's Blackburn against Wolves. Blackburn 2-1, the draw 9-4, and Wolves are 11-8. We're calling this on Thursday lunchtime, and Wolves don't have a manager as we're speaking.
No, they don't.
Walter Zenger has gone just 14 games into the season, and the thing is that I still, up until he left, thought of Wolves as being probably sitting quite comfortably in 8th or 9th, to be honest. If you didn't show me the table, I'd have gone Wolves. Oh, they're a good side.
Yeah.
You know, they could really trouble anyone in this division. And they can.
That
still remains
as
the case.
As Newcastle assessed it.
Exactly. But then you look at the table and you go, well, I can kind of see why people were making a case against him here. They sit in 18th, Wolves, and they still are a good side, I think. And I certainly don't think they'll be going down.
Yeah.
And maybe the table doesn't lie, but two wins and potentially they could be right on the fringe of the playoffs again. But they come against the Blackburn side here, who haven't been great all season, really. Mini revival with the draw at home to Ipswich and then the win at home to Forest. Then they lost at Bristol City. Their away form isn't great, Blackburn.
No.
Their home form is better.
Yeah.
People may be tempted by the 2-1 on them here. Similarly, Wolves could be a pretty tempting 11-8. Just depends on how Wolves are going to cope without a manager. We're assuming that they won't have a manager in place by Saturday's game. It's a really tricky one to call, this, isn't it?
It is, but I've sided in something I never thought I'd do possibly in the entire season with Blackburn here.
Okay.
As we said, their home form decent. 2 wins and a draw in their last 4 home games. And, you know, if you dissect Wolves' horrible run, in that 5, they've played Brighton, Villa, Norwich and a resurgent Leeds. That's quite a tough run.
Hmm.
There was local newspaper reports, and these are just what the local newspaper reports were suggesting, that it wasn't just the on-the-field performances that cost Walter Zenger his job. There were some suggestions that they wanted him around a bit more often, and he was off to Dubai, where his family are based, to see them during international breaks and so on and so forth. And it just, in the end, it felt, I think, between the owners and between Walter Zenger, the director of football, and his assistant, that it just wasn't really working, that players were maybe not massively getting on with the situation. So that might be a big thing for Wolves. If you're looking at Wolves, that could be a big boost for you. Sometimes there's nothing like a player who's finally got rid of the manager he hates for him to, for him to put a performance in. But I actually think that Blackburn are an interesting play here. First and foremost, as we said, they've done well at home at Ewood Park. Those 2 wins and the draw. They've lost at home to Sheffield Wednesday. Wednesday, of course, we know poor on the road generally, but okay, whatever. Narrowly at home to Fulham, and then obviously battered by Norwich opening day, whatever, and a draw with Burton. But Wolves, even before these 5 games, I mean, they won at home against Brentford, of course. They won at Newcastle, which was, I mean, looking back at it now, it seems like a miracle, doesn't it? And they've lost at Huddersfield. They've won at Birmingham. They've drawn at Rotherham. So arguably, you could say, well, they've drawn at Rotherham, you know. But I just think that it's, when you're a side in this league, no matter, even if you do lose your manager, it's very hard, after that run of losses, even against good teams, to pull yourself round. And for Blackburn, I'm not saying that this is a gimme, because it's absolutely not. But this has got to be a game that Owen Cole's got to say, listen, if we can't win a game against a team who've just lost their manager, you know, with 4 losses from 5, then what the hell are we doing?
It's the kind of game that if Wolves are going to win, they need to scrap and win 1-0. And I don't see this Wolves side as being able to do that. I see them being very good at winning 2-3-0 at home and being quite
absolutely
cosy and cute about it. But can they dig in and grab that sort of gritty 1-0? They may be able to, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But this will be a really attritional test, you'd have thought.
I would completely agree with that assessment. I completely agree. I mean, I like the enhanced odds offer here of Sam Gallagher to score and Blackburn to win at 5s, up from 15-4. Owen Coyle this week said, I'd love to sign Sam Gallagher. And even though I'm guessing here, I imagine somewhere Sam Gallagher's agent's gone, no. But the point is here that 5-1 is good. Gallagher's got 5 goals this season. He's got a brace in their last home game, of course, as well, against Nottingham Forest, which won Blackburn that game. And the truth be told, Wolves will finish higher in the league than Blackburn. No question. No question. And as I've put on the TV preview I did earlier on, they'll win the war, Wolves. But I think this battle goes to Blackburn. I really, really do. I just think that there's enough solidity about that Blackburn home form and enough weakness in the form generally of Wolves to make Blackburn, while they're not a phenomenal bet, at 2-1, a decent bet, and probably the best bet of the game, if you fancy that, is your draw no bet, which is even money.
Okay, starting with Blackburn then in that Saturday tea time clash.
I am.
The final game we're going to preview is the Sunday lunchtime game, Birmingham against Aston Villa. A real derby coming up at midday. Birmingham 7-4, the draw 11-5, and Villa are 8-5. Not only is it a local derby, it's Steve Bruce's derby.
Yeah, the Bruce derby.
And fascinating contest this, because Birmingham, very, very good at home. They were last season. They've only lost once at home so far this season in the league. Villa, typically horrible away. However many days they went without an away win, but they did win last time out against Reading. Mm. They have shown marked improvement for Steve Bruce's appointment. The draw against Wolves and then winning away at Reading and then at home against Fulham. And it's the kind of game that I can see Steve Bruce-ing Birmingham and just grinding out a result. That said, the 8-5 isn't massively enticing, it has to be said. But whatever happens, it'll be fiery. It'll be a great watch. Which way do you think it's going to go?
And I guess whatever happens, you'll be having a couple of quid on Jonathan Codger this weekend.
Probably. Well, he's just one of those players.
4-4.
Again, it's like
4-4.
You mentioned you're with Tom Kearney and players like that. I just think Codger is consistently, I mean, 7-4 to score any time.
You're in 7-4 for a guy who's got 4-4.
Why wouldn't you back him? He's class. He really is.
Yeah, he is.
I could not speak more highly of him.
McCormack's got two this season. He's 23-10 anytime. Again, I completely agree with that. This is the kind of game, one of the very few kinds of games where I do take note of the head-to-heads, just out of interest. The home side has won 3 of the last 5 meetings. The other 2 were draws. So you have to bear that in mind a little bit as well for this kind of thing. I think Birmingham are dark horses here for playoffs this season. They've got the home form absolutely in line. They are playing some very good football. I know they had a disappointing day on television the other day, but they are a decent side. And what they've got is Gary Rowett, who's a very, very, very good manager. Very good. Did a great job at Burton. I mean, people forget with what Hasselbank did and everything else. Rowett started that. Rowett started that under really tough financial constraints at the time. Look, this is a tough as hell game. Let's be absolutely clear about this. This is ridiculously hard. But there are some markets which blew my head off in terms of value. What have Villa been doing this season, mainly?
Drawing.
Yes, okay. And how have they been drawing it? 0-0, 3-3?
Generally fairly low scoring, but both teams scoring at least.
There you go.
Plenty of one-alls in
usually there. Usually the one-alls, isn't there? So if you look at the Championship draws, Wolves, 1-1. Barnsley, 1-1. Newcastle, 1-1. Brentford, 1-1. Forest, 2-2. Huddersfield, 1-1. Okay, so you're already looking at 6 of those draws being both teams to score. You throw in their loss against Bristol City, 3-1. Their win against Reading, both teams to score, landed there. Didn't, of course, land against Fulham, but going a bit further back. The both teams to score has been ridiculous. For Birmingham home games, 3 of the last 5. What would you price both teams to score at here, knowing what Villa are like, knowing that Birmingham have got 3 of the last 5?
Pretty short, but I've not looked at the price, but I can kind of see why the traders have. I'm going to imagine it's bigger than you thought it would be.
I thought it would be around 8 to 15.
And what is it?
10 to 11.
I can kind of see why they've done that, because derbies can be fairly trappy, but yeah. I agree that on form, it should be a play. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, and I think I hadn't really thought of it from that angle, but you are right. It is probably priced up on the derby, which is, to be honest, a pretty good way of pricing it. Pretty good way of going about, isn't it? But 10 to 11, both teams to score looks very, very good. We've mentioned Jonathan Kodjius, 4-4. I mean, 7-4 anytime. Lukas Jutkiewicz, I mean, on TV last week, he was completely isolated. I mean, they were booting it to him. It was dropping to his chest, and then he was going, I can't go anywhere. And I'm sure they'll deal with that, because Gary Rowett said post-match, we need to give him more support. He's 7-4 anytime as well. I was really intrigued, considering that he's the main goal scorer for Birmingham, considering that Kodjia is the main goal scorer, obviously, for their opponents. I was really intrigued at the anytime goal scorer doubled market, which it took me ages to find, but I eventually got there. Anything, Kodjia and Jutkiewicz both to score anytime, 13-2. Which I think is quite a nice little consideration at just over 6-1. I quite like that. In the end, though, I've gone with Birmingham draw no bet here. I get why the traders, again, have priced it with Villa Favs, because they've improved massively under Steve Bruce, haven't they? I mean, 2 wins and a draw from his opening 3 games in charge. But 21-20, draw no bet. It's odds against. You've got the draw in there for your money back. And you're getting 21-20 on a side who are one of the league's best home sides. Really, that's what it comes down to, isn't it? So for me, that 21-20 seemed absolutely brilliant. I also had a little nibble here on cards. Now, the card market's an interesting one in this, because if you go through the last 5, there hasn't been a red card. Not a single one. So you're kind of going, oh, right, okay, fair enough. But what we've seen on television, actually, is games, more yellow cards given on TV in the Championship this season than not. The percentage, sorry, is higher, rather than, you know, we've had, 10 games on TV?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. In those 10, there was more than all the other games combined. No, but I really fancied cards here. I felt, as we said, trappy, local derby, the first for a while, obviously. That atmosphere is going to be absolutely belting there. And I just felt that cards, therefore, nothing ridiculous for cards, but just the over 45 booking points, the over 55, which I thought was probably the best at 4-5 way to play that. But in the end, I went for Birmingham just, and I think you do need that draw and a bit of value.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think I couldn't be backing Villa.
No.
Away from home. I do like them, though, but I'd much rather back Kodjia, say, any time than Villa at very similar prices.
I mean, Birmingham was 7-4 and Kodjia 7-4.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you've got to think of it like that, haven't you?
Right then. We're going to hand over back to Pete now for his 3 o'clock game. Just looking at the naps table from last week, Pete, the only loser, I'm afraid. Al and Gav both putting winners up. Unfortunately, everyone's currently showing a small loss.
Look,
but there's plenty of time.
Small loss, mine's a big loss at the moment. 41.75 loss.
To a £10 stake, I will add.
To a £10 stake, yeah. I've never ever finished in debt on the NAPS table. I've always finished in profit, and this is a marathon, not a sprint. However, I'm fuming, and it needs to end really, really soon, because the idea of being behind Al or Gav in any way, shape or form is not just nasty. It's genuinely disgusting to my soul. So I need to catch those two scumbags up, especially Gav, who's, I mean, just a terrible person. that's the plan. That is the plan. It's time to kick on, I think, here.
Right. And with that, I'll hand over to you for your 3 o'clock kickoff. And off the back of this, we are going to hear from the aforementioned Gav Puchalowski with his best bets in League One.
So the Neil Warnock revolution continues. They're 23-20 this weekend at home against Wigan. Wigan, of course, one of the league's very worst away sides. The 5-2, considering they parted company with their manager this week, not particularly attractive. Maybe the 11-5 for you is. It's not for me. They beat Bristol City, Cardiff, and looked very, very decent. They got a 1-1 draw against Sheffield Wednesday, of course, at home in Neil Warnock's second game. And then they were victorious away at the City Ground against Nottingham Forest. Deserved to win that game as well. Henry Lansbury, though, don't forget, for Forest, always a very good-priced goal scorer. But Cardiff are a side who have improved more than you could possibly imagine. And with Wigan's away form as bad as it is, and it has been terrible, don't forget they lost their first 5 away games in a row this season. Yes, drawing at Brentford, yes, drawing against Leeds might well put them slightly more in the positive away form category, but not even close. For me, 23-20 for Cardiff on the outright seems, at any rate, an absolutely spanking looking bet. And one man who's loving life under Neil Warnock is Peter Whittingham. Whittingham, of course, a man who I'm sure for many years many of us backed in the Championship, 4-1 this weekend, takes penalties, takes free kicks, and has 2 in 3 under Neil Warnock. So 4-1 for Peter Whittingham looks so, so good. But the question you've got to ask yourself is, how do you put together a pro Wigan bet with Cardiff, who were in trouble before Warnock arrived, improving massively, and Wigan struggling and have now sacked their manager, a popular manager, may I add as well, struggling even more so away from home. If Wigan do your bet here, their first away win of the season, the betting gods are just not on your side this week. Cardiff go off then at 23-20, and it's a 23-20 that I could happily get on board with. We mentioned Reading earlier on, we mentioned Forest earlier on, and Forest are a side who, let's be fair, aren't exactly the most reliable. Sitting 19th in the Championship right now, they're 13-5 going to Reading, who are 21-20. Reading are a strange old team. Yapstam's done a very, very good job. They have, to my mind anyway, overperformed in terms of quality of squad to results so far. And Reading, yes, they lost to Villa, yes, they drew with Derby, yes, they drew with Birmingham, but they have beaten both Ipswich and Huddersfield at home so far this season, as well as drawing with Brighton and dispatching early doors Preston North End. Yes, Forest battered Birmingham, however, since then, lost at Blackburn and lost to Cardiff, who, yes, have improved, but would Forest expect more? I think they probably would. This is a Forest side who are pretty much as bad as Wigan away from home. They've yet to win away. And yes, recently they've been to some good teams, but Bristol City, who are decent, and that loss at Blackburn Rovers still hangs over me. Reading at the Medeski, yes, okay, just the one home loss so far this season, but I like the overs here to start things off. Forest's away games so far this season, all but one have been overs on the goals. That's even money for over 2.5 this weekend at the Medeski, or whatever the new corporate signed stadium is called. But I just love the idea of Reading here. So Reading in both teams, 16-5. Forest have lost the last 3 away from home, 2-1, 15-2. The best goal scorer price, though, is the man we mentioned a little while ago, of course, which is Henry Lansbury. This guy, for me, is a Premier League quality player, the former Arsenal youngster, and a young man who, basically, I still forget, is how young. I didn't realise he's still only 26. 3 goals so far this season for Lansbury. Scored away at Sheffield Wednesday, scored away at Villa, and then scored last time out at home against Cardiff. So he's scoring away from home. Takes set pieces, as we saw with a penalty the other day. 15-4, Henry Lansbury the play there. But for me, 21-20 Reading, a definite play. I still very, very desperately want to back against Nottingham Forest. And finally, what about Huddersfield Town? A couple of games, a bit of a blip, of course, the narrow loss to Sheffield Wednesday and the battering at the hands at Preston North End maybe didn't make for the best reading for David Wagner. But since then, they recovered with that superb 1-0 victory over Derby County, and they're taking on a Fulham side with just one win in their last five. Yes, Fulham are a decent side, but don't forget their Craven Cottage form has not been good. Started with that narrow opening night loss against Newcastle, drew with Cardiff, and then lost three of the five subsequent games, drawing two of them. Now, Huddersfield's away form, yes, is not anywhere close to the quality of their home form, but they lost at Brighton, they lost where we know is good at Reading, they won at Leeds, won at Ipswich, and yes, had that nasty loss at Preston. But are you telling me that Huddersfield, a side third in the table, should be 19-10 against a side who at home have not won in five? And let's not forget, Huddersfield's most recent form is three wins from five. No, no, no. Huddersfield far too big in this game for me. Far too big. 23-20, draw no bet, looks to be an absolute corker to my mind. It is an absolute corker. They are, for me, a great, great draw no bet price. Now, Elias Kachunga normally scores mainly at home. 7-4 any time for him. Naki Wells, 7-5 any time for him. I cannot see how Huddersfield do not win this game. Now, we mentioned Tom Kearney. I'll just say his price because he's always a good one. 13-5, plenty of goals this season already. But I just keep coming back to that price on Huddersfield and keep being surprised by it. 19-10 is an absolute beaut for me. You are getting third in the table. It just looks glorious. The other thing to say is, Huddersfield, when they went to Fulham last season, they went during a very nasty time. They were 1-0 up. Naki Wells, by the way, scored that day, so more fuel to the fire of that 7-5 we've mentioned. But they only lost out on 3 points thanks to a 90th minute Corley Woodrow equaliser. So Huddersfield almost got over the line. I think this time they will get over line. For me, they are the bet. So the final, question, I suppose, we've got to discuss, and the final thing I've got to say is the nap. Now, I've had a bit of a nightmare, as I'm sure regular listeners will know, but as I've said on the main part of the podcast, I'm not someone who's ever finished in negative numbers before on this podcast. I blame Alan Gav. So you could say I'm due my time, or you could say that I'm about to begin a glorious phoenix-like charge from the ashes. I would prefer to say that I'm starting that glorious charge. Cardiff at 23-20 are going to be my nap of the week. Yes, Wigan have drawn their last two away games, but Neil Warnock has done something, as he tends to do at these clubs, that he goes in to rescue and turn around, and Cardiff look very, very good. They've deserved their victories. They were unlucky with their draw, and at 23-20 against a club that's just sacked their manager, that has some of the worst away form in the league, 23-20 on Cardiff will do me. Here's fingers crossed. Best of luck with your bets. Bye-bye.
Here are my three best bets for League One this Saturday. Starting with Millwall away from home. Millwall away from home equals goals, goals, goals and more goals. Their results away from home so far: 2-2 at MK Dons, 5-1 at Peterborough, 3-1 at Chesterfield, 3-1 at Southend, 3-1 at Port Vale, 2-1 at Walsall and 3-1 at Northampton. That is 29 goals in 7 games. 7 away games for Millwall. Over 2.5 goals has landed in every single one. 6 have been over 3.5 goals. Over 3.5 goals, Oxford is 12-5, but I'm going over 2.5 goals at 10-11. This is my nap selection as well. 3 of Oxford's last 4 have also been over 2.5 goals. So Oxford United at home to Millwall equals goals. Over 2.5 goals at 10-11 is a big play. My second bet of the weekend involves my team. I never try to mix business with pleasure. I always tend to jinx Sheffield United, but I'm backing them at 4-5 against MK Dons because for the first time in a very long time, I think this is the real deal for Sheffield United. The confidence is sky high. Good quality players playing good football under the leadership of a good manager against an MK Dons side who recently lost Carl Robinson. Sheffield United have gone 10 unbeaten, 7 wins, 3 draws. Billy Sharp has got 4 goals in 2 games. He's firing on all cylinders. He's evens any time. And Sheffield United have scored 11 goals in 3 games. They've had 3 clean sheets at Bramall Lane consecutively. Not something they've done for a while. But MK Dons, their away form is much better than their home form. MK Dons have only got 1 point from their last 12, but they have only failed to score in one of their last 15 away games. And in fact, they have scored in every single away game this season. And with the fact they've just lost their manager and they're playing for a bit of pride, they could be a threat at Bramall Lane in terms of a goal. So maybe Blades and both teams to score at 11-4 is a play. Blades and over 2.5 goals at 17-10, but definitely Sheffield United at 4-5 to beat MK Dons. And my third bet this weekend is Bristol Rovers. Backed them last weekend as my nap and they landed. And they're 6-4 to beat Peterborough. Bristol Rovers have got 10 points from 12 and they've scored 10 in 4 games. Peterborough have only scored in 2 in 4 away. And their last 4 away games, lost 2, drawn 2. Peterborough are struggling at the moment. Bristol Rovers are the joint current in-form side. Over 2.5 goals has landed in 4 of the last 5 at home for Bristol. Their last 2 results at home have been 2-1 and 2-1. Ellis Harrison at home for Bristol Rovers has scored 3 in 5 at home. He's 7-4 any time. But I really do like Bristol Rovers to win this game. You could go Bristol Rovers and both teams to score at 3-1. And Bristol Rovers and over 2.5 goals at 21-10. But I'm sticking with Bristol Rovers at 6-4. My treble for this weekend in League One is Oxford and Millwall. Over 2.5 goals at 10-11 is my nap. Sheffield United at 4-5 and Bristol Rovers at 6-4. That is just over 7-1.
The thoughts of Gav Pushlowski there then on League One. What about League Two then? As ever, closing the podcast out, here is Al Ross with his best bets in the fourth tier of the English league system.
We are going to start this week with the obvious, and the obvious is Plymouth. They are a side who are top of the table. They are at home. They have won 10 of their last 12 League Two matches. They have the league's best defence. They are unbeaten at home since the opening day. And they're playing a side whose only away win came at Wickham, who at the time were missing half of their squad with injuries. Other than that, 3 points from 6 away games this season. No wins in 7 matches, including 3 defeats in their last 5. It is second against 23rd in the form table, and Plymouth would be top of that form table if it didn't include their reserve team's loss to Wimbledon in the EFL Trophy. So, the home side at even money is going to be the building block of every sensible acca this weekend. There are no secrets in this game, no bits of team news that everyone's missing. It is just a wrong price. There are 2 home prices elsewhere that shout out as obvious, namely Carlisle 13-20 have won their last 5 and haven't lost in 90 minutes since April. They're hosting a Crawley side who in the last few weeks and historically over the last year have really struggled on the road. Accrington as well, they've struggled through a hard patch of fixtures. They've got a chance at 4-5 to get back on track against woeful Newport, who got their first point under Graham Wesley in midweek, but only at home and only thanks to a very late penalty against an out-of-form Barnet side who actually had more shots than their hosts anyway. But the one price that really sticks out from the rest at home this week is Doncaster, 8-13. 2 draws at home since the start of the season, won the rest. Did us proud in the Acca a few weeks ago by notching their 5th home league win in 6. Only second place Carlisle have taken anything from the Keep Moat in that time. So any kind of price at all against a Wickham side whose last away win came against now relegated Dagenham in February has to be looked at. They got a surprise point at Mansfield last week. That let the Acca down, I know, sorry. But it was the only time in 5 away games that they haven't lost. And a surprise point at questionable at home Mansfield is one thing. A trip to the Keep Moat, another. Seems a surefire 8-13 on the home side for me. A few matches this week that screen draws as well. Barnet, one of those against Hartlepool, also Notts County Luton, Leighton Orient Crewe, Cheltenham Blackpool. All of those could well finish as the X, and the draws are between 9-4 and 5-2. But as you know, I like to talk up the value win outrights here. The short prices and the draws are there if you want, but I want a bit more bang in my acca, so I'm heading southwest to talk about Yeovil. Now, Yeovil started the season slowly. They had injury concerns, but they are taking off big style. Three straight wins, fourth in the form table, 19-10 at home to Grimsby. Now, I've been backing Grimsby with great success for the early part of this season. 20 points from 14 games under Paul Hurst. However, they are not under Paul Hurst anymore. He has gone to Shrewsbury. And you'd imagine his assistant Chris Doig would therefore take charge. He has gone to Shrewsbury. Dave Moore is the man to take temporary charge of Grimsby this weekend. He is the physio. Now, I'm being a little harsh here because Moore was a manager before that, though, in the mid-90s, and has been a caretaker manager at Grimsby as well. But to lose the two biggest figures at the club, the figures that took you up from non-league last season, less than halfway into this season, that's going to be hugely deflating for Grimsby. Long trip as well. Why are they favourites against the in-form home side? No idea at all. 19-10 on Yeovil, take it. So all three bets this week look like they could be potential naps, but got to finish where I started. The gap between Plymouth and Colchester is extraordinary, so even money for the league leaders at home. Yeovil, Plymouth and Doncaster pays out 8.36-1. Feel free to bulk it out with any of the other selections if you want to make that price bigger.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.